half our congregation with that group. How many of you are excited about what God's going to give you today? And you don't even know what he's going to give you, see? The ones that didn't raise your hand and shout, they're going, well, I'm not sure what he's going to give me, so I'm not going to commit. We want to welcome everyone that's joining us by live stream this morning. We thank God for y'all. I really do. I appreciate it. Y'all are our family. We would like to see your faces and meet you if you're in the area. But if you're not, we appreciate you watching by live stream. And we just believe the power of God can go through that camera and through the internet just like it can coming live. Amen. So you'll never know whether God is live or it's Memorex, praise God. If you have your Bibles, hopefully you have your Bible with you. And I will tell our visitors, if you need a Bible, we'll get you one. All you have to do is, I'm not trying to embarrass you. A lot of people don't bring their Bibles to church. They don't come very often without a Bible. But if you don't have a Bible, we'll be glad to get you one. If you would, raise your hand. Just as a loner. Amen. A lot of people say, I got my Bible on my phone. Amen. They tell me you can even highlight on a phone. I don't know. I'm old fashioned. I like to hear the pages rattling. Amen. Amen. But let's all be turning to 1 Peter chapter 4. And at the beginning of this year, the Lord impressed on me to keep teaching his people, that means you and me, the importance of having a close personal relationship with your Heavenly Father. How many know there is no greater relationship that you can have on this planet and that you could ever have greater than your relationship with the Lord? How many of you know that? Amen. For those who don't know it, just keep coming. You keep hearing the word, keep receiving the word, and then keep doing what the word says. You're going to build that relationship with him. Amen. I mean, think about it. To know the creator of everything there is. I don't know about you, but that's just awesome to me. We sang that song that he knows my name. That ought to just make somebody do cartwheels. None of you old people, please. We don't want to have to raise you up from the dead. Amen. But knowing that God is my friend. Hallelujah. People say, well, I don't have very many friends. All you need is one. Because he's a friend that'll stick closer than a brother, the Bible says. To know him personally. Last week we talked about having a relationship with God is what is man's greatest need. We talked about living in God's presence because his presence also lives in us. And then last week we began talking about out of you and I living and being a part of God's presence, living in his presence all day long. Out of that presence, we are going to be able to do God's will on this planet. How many of you want to do God's will? Yeah, I'm looking around. Moreover, God can see whether you do want to do his will or not because he knows your heart. But if you want to do God's will, why don't you tell him? Let's just do that. How about it? Say, Heavenly Father, I want to do your will. Hallelujah. I'll tell those because I didn't hear y'all on the internet. So what I'm going to tell you to do is right now type that in on your computer and then repeat it as you're typing it. Amen? They need to be included, right? Hallelujah. So let's begin here in 1 Peter chapter number 4. Oops. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to leave that down there. Because once I get down there, I'd have to just stay down there a while and pray for y'all. If you know what I mean. Hallelujah. We're going to begin here in 1 Peter chapter number 4. And Peter says this in verse number 7. We read this last week. He says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers." Now, I've covered that scripture many, many times here at this church. And I don't think there's anyone in this room, there might be one or two, that don't know that the end is near. How many of you know the end is near? Amen. Well, if you don't know it, let me tell you, the end is near. We're coming to the end of this age. And I know we've been hearing that for years and years and years and years. And I'm not going to go through all the signs again like I've done many times in this church. But listen, we need to be watchful and we need to be praying. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Just because we know the end is near, that does not mean we're just to give up. It don't mean that we're not supposed to occupy. In other words, it don't mean we just sit around with folded hands waiting on the rapture of the church. Are you listening to me? And I realize all of us have a longing in our heart to be with loved ones that have gone before us. I know we all have a longing in our heart to be with Jesus Christ. But until the trumpet sounds, my brothers and sisters, how many of you know we're supposed to stay engaged? That you and I are to be God's voice in humanity and to humanity. We learned that last week. We are God's voice. Amen. We are to be winning. Listen to me. We are to be winning as many souls to Jesus as we can before the trumpet sounds. Now you just keep a hold of that in your spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Just because we see it getting darker and darker in today's society, that does not mean we stop evangelizing. It don't mean we stop witnessing to people. It don't mean we stop winning those folks to Jesus. And it does not mean that we're living and thriving for the things of this world, but we're living and thriving for the things of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We should be doing the things to strengthen our relationship with God. We should be doing, we should be in His presence more than we were yesterday. We should be reading and studying God's word more than we did yesterday. We should be coming to church more than we ever have before. And listen, I don't mean this ugly. It is not okay. It is not okay just to sit at home and watch live stream. If you have the means and the ability to get into a local church. And I'm not just talking about HCCC. Yes, you need to be listening to the uncompromised word. So you need to find a church in your area. I'm going to talk to these folks because y'all are here. You need to find a church in your area that is a faith-filled, Bible-believing, Holy Ghost-filled church. Amen. Where they preach the uncompromised word of God. And that may be harder to find nowadays than it was years ago. But they are out there. Amen. So it's not okay if you have the means and ability to get to church to just sit at your house. I love you, but you're wrong. Amen. Why? Because every Christian needs to get involved in the local church. You need to be involved. You need to be doing something for God. I know it's getting quiet even in this house. Amen? Amen. But you need to be doing something for God, and many in this church are. But if you're not doing something for God, He cannot, listen to me, He cannot do anything for you. Now, that could be a number of things. That don't mean you have to go to the cemetery and get your ordination. That don't mean you have to go down on Fifth Street and witness to the people under the bridge. If that you're called to do that, then do that. Amen. It means if you have the ability and you have the air in your lungs, you can tell somebody about Jesus. Don't shout me down now just because I'm preaching real good. I just came onto your block. Amen. I told you this morning I was excited because I was going to be preaching to my own house. Amen. And please don't misunderstand me. I truly believe that technology is great. I believe the people that we can reach through that lens up there and perhaps get them saved is a great thing. Amen. But you getting yourself and your family into a local church is far more important to fulfilling God's plan and purpose for your life. Amen. Hebrews 10:25, don't turn there, says, and I paraphrase, says not to forsake the gathering of yourselves together, but to gather together even more. Everybody say even more. To gather together even more as we see the day approaching, my brothers and sisters. We need to move past the point in our Christian walk of saying, I don't know if we're going to go to church this Sunday or not. We ought to move past that. How many of you think we ought to just get past that one point? And just purpose in our hearts to God that we're going to be in the house of God every time the church is open. Amen. We need to get past that point of declaring, well, you know, you honey, you want to go to church this weekend? No, let's go riding a motorcycle. Let's go fishing. Let's go hunting. Oh, the ball game. We got to go to the ball game. We can't be in church and be at the Houston Oilers. No, what are they now? Oh, man, I just dated myself, didn't I? Woo. Houston Texans, that's what they are. We can't be in church and be in Houston at the same time. We got season tickets. Don't shout me down now. Hallelujah. You know what I'm telling you is true. I said in my opening statement, there's nothing more important in your life than your relationship with God. Yes, can you have a relationship at home? Yes. But you can't have the relationship God wants to be with you and in you if you're not going to do Hebrews 10:25. He says, I want you gathering together more. How many of you in here, and I want to see a show of hands, and God, I'm going to look around. How many in here believe that you ought to be a doer of the word? Everybody? James 1:22 says we are. Well, then how many of you in here believe that Hebrews 10:25 is part of the word? You know, not as many hands going up. Should have been the exact same amount of hands go up. You know why there wasn't? Because instead of taking a highlighter, you took a Sharpie, black Sharpie, and marked that scripture out of your Bible. That's what Christians do that when they see something that they're not doing. I just omit that one. Tear that page out. Do you know they're trying to rewrite the Bible right now? Because people don't want to live under the Word of God? Oh, my goodness. Praise the Lord. I said before, that's all Holy Ghost right there. So if you have a complaint, how many is going to keep looking for that box in the back? There's a box back there that's marked HG. If you have a problem with what I preach, go back there and put your complaint in that box, okay? Amen. Praise the Lord. Listen, if God didn't want you and I committed to the body of Christ, to the local body of Christ, to this church or some other church, he would have left that scripture out of the Bible. He wouldn't have said it. He wouldn't have put it in there. Guys, we got to get to the point to where we realize that every scripture in that Bible was God-breathed. And every scripture in that Bible is to you. Amen. I know it is to me. I made the decision back in 1997 that when God showed me in his word what he'd have me do, I was going to do my best, come H or high water, to do it. You need to submit yourself to God. Amen. Even more so. We can always grow a little bit more, can't we? Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And just so you'll know, and then I'll move on, Livestream was created for people who could not get to church. Livestream was created for them. My mother can't get to church because of her physical situation in her life. There are people that can't get to church. Livestream is for them. Amen. And I know I'm preaching to the choir in here, but if I looked at the camera all the time, then they'd know I was talking to them. Amen. It was not meant for those people that's watching right now that are fully able to get to God's house. Amen. And if you turn me off, don't watch me no more, hey, that'll give you more time to get in a local church, won't it? Amen. So, Peter said here in 1 Peter 4:7, be serious. That means be serious in your Christian walk. Get more serious with God than you ever have been before. And be watchful in what? In your prayers. These two things, my brothers and sisters, are vital in establishing God's will on this earth. The Amplified Bible in that verse says, but the end and culmination of all things has now come near. Look at this. Keep sound-minded and self-restrained. That's one of them scriptures right there that a lot of people just black out that second part. I don't mind being mindful, but I have a problem with my flesh. And I'm going to keep living the way I want to. Be mindful and self-restrained and alert, therefore, for the practice of prayer. So notice he's saying, as we see the end drawing near, that we are to stay sound-minded and self-restrained in our walk with God. And be mindful, listen to me, in our practice. Everybody say practice. In our practice of prayer. And prayer is what I'm going to key in on this morning. The Bible mentions a lot of different types of prayer. We certainly can't preach about them all this morning, can we? But I want to talk to you this morning about what I believe Peter was trying to get across to us, or get across to the church, when he said, be serious and pray. Write this down. If you're watching this from home, type it in so you can see it. Amen. Write this down. Prayer empowers my life. Prayer empowers my life. Now say it with me. Say, prayer empowers my life. Prayer is about fulfilling God's will. We learned that last Sunday. Prayer is what imparts the power of God into your life. Prayer is our source of power. And we're going to see that in the scriptures this morning. Hallelujah. Samuel Chadwick, one of the early revivalists of the Methodist Church, said, the one concern of the devil was to keep Christians from praying. Listen to this. The devil fears nothing from prayerless study of God's word. The devil fears nothing from prayerless works or prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but listen to this, he trembles when we pray. Hallelujah. You see, prayer is the source that empowers a believer's life. And when Christians get a hold of this revelation, they will start praying the way the Bible says for them to pray. And really, the reason why more people don't spend more time in prayer is because they're not seeing results when they do pray. That don't mean that God is not wanting to answer your prayers. That means you're praying wrong. And the Bible says so. Asking, you'll be given. Seeking, you'll find. But don't ask amiss, and I'm paraphrasing that scripture. Make sure you're asking the right way. And we found out in this church and in our studies that we're supposed to be praying God's word. How many of you know God only hastens to his word? God only sends his angels to perform his word. He don't send his angels to perform what John may be on the floor flopping around crying out, this is what God can do for me. I got to pray his word. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Get a hold of this, guys. I'm not being critical. This is not a criticism. But people don't see results from their prayers. They're not going to pray. Amen. When I used to pray wrong and God never answered my prayer, guess what? I blamed him. Don't you love me? Don't you see I have these needs? Don't you know that I need you to do more for me? And you know what he said? I need you, son, to do something for me. Because I can't go against my word. And I have told you, and write this down, Luke 6:38, I have told you that with what measure you give unto me, son, is the only measure I can give unto you. So if you ain't going to do nothing but flop around on the floor, scream out and holler and ask the wrong way, there's nothing I can do for you. Some of y'all must be doing that because this sure got quiet in God's house. Amen. Maybe I was the only one that ever did that. Just told God, gave him my laundry list. Father, this is what you need to do for me. Change that woman. Change my kids. Change my job. Change everything, Father God, so I can be happy. He said, change you. Because I left you in charge of your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He trembles when we pray. Pray. Let me say something. If you got results every time you prayed, would you want to pray more? How many of you would? If you got results every time you opened your mouth and prayed, would you not want to pray more? Amen. Well, just stick with us. We're going to show you how to pray. Amen? We're going to show you how to pray to get results every time you pray. I say we because it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't shout me down now. I'm going to get somewhere with this. But if a person got results when they did pray, they would want to pray more. And if the believer really understood, if the man or woman of God could just get a hold of this revelation, if they really believe the truth about prayer, then prayer would become their highest priority. I told you last week, and I'm going to say it again, some people don't even pray over their food. How can God expect you to pray his will into his life, into your life? I know everybody's going to lunch today, going to be make sure they pray over the food, right? Hallelujah. Be thankful in all things. If the believer really understood and get a revelation that prayer and being in God's presence is what empowers their life and gives them the authority over all things on this planet, including the devil. If they would just get that revelation, then prayer and getting in God's presence would be their highest priority. And their prayer would not be, like I just described, going to God with your laundry list, telling him what you think he ought to be doing in your life. Let me tell you something. When a person regulates their prayer life down to just their carnal wants and needs, their wants and their desires, then their prayer life is going to be unfruitful. And they will no longer see the need for prayer. And that's why most Christians don't pray right now. Because they're praying wrong. And God cannot answer wrong prayers. What does he perform? Come on, church. What does he perform? Everybody say it. His word. He watches over his word to perform it. Hallelujah. Listen to me. I certainly do not know everything there is to know about prayer. But what little I do know is working for me. And I'm purposing this morning. Like I said, I'm preaching to me. I'm purposing this morning to learn more about prayer. To be more in prayer even myself. Amen. About what it means to be an intercessor. And intercede for not only the loved ones in my life, but to intercede for this entire country and everybody on this planet that's not saved. You have the power to do that. When you stay in God's presence. Amen. I'm going to say this. There are those in this church right now that are learning to be more skillful in their prayer life. And let me extend a welcome to everybody else that isn't here on Wednesday night. If you want your prayer life to be more successful, you need to come to Wednesday night service. Because I just preached the headlines here. You get the meat of God's word on Wednesday night. You get to interact with God's word on Wednesday night. And then soon, and very soon, we're going to have testimony night to where you're going to be able to brag on Jesus and what your prayer life has been bringing you in your life. Amen? Hallelujah. We need to all become more skillful in our prayer life. He said, the one concern the devil has is to keep you and me from praying. The devil fears nothing from prayerless study, from prayerless works, or from prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil. He mocks at our wisdom. But he trembles when you or me, or you and I, correct English, pray. He trembles when you pray. Hallelujah. Yeah, I should have got more than one whoo out of that. And most of the whoos are coming from the ladies, and that's just disgraceful, guys. Gentlemen, you need to learn how to pray. Quit relying on your wife to be the interceder in your house. I told you I'm preaching to me. If anybody else is getting it, that's good too. Amen? I saw the looks from some of you guys. I had to change that. Hallelujah. Just make it about me. I need to make sure that my wife isn't the prayer warrior in our house. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, just write these down. I've got a lot of scriptures for you this morning. Well, let me say this first. I'm going to point this to the men first. You're supposed to be the prayer leader. How much are you praying? How much do you pray? God knows the answer to that. You know the answer to that. Now I'm going to let you off the hook. How many of you know you can pray more? Amen. Now you ladies, how much do you pray? How much are you interceding for your husband? How much are you pounding the heavens for the lost? The sick, the brokenhearted, those who are depressed, those who have addictions in their lives. How much are we all as a group interceding for mankind? We all know the answer to that. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, It says, when they were all gathered together, talking about the church, they all continued with one accord in prayer. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in what? One accord and in one place. That means they were praying corporately. That's what we do on Wednesday nights. We pray corporately. You need to be a part of that corporate prayer. Can you say amen? If nothing else, just say amen by faith, and God will make a way to get you here. Amen. We need prayer more now in these days, in these last days, than we ever have before. We learned, and I don't bring politics into the pulpit, we learned that your vote don't mean nothing if the devil is stealing. If the devil owns the system that I'm punching my ballot in, how many of you know they can manipulate my ballot to say what they want it to say? There's other things. You're not going to change the school board. You're not going to change our city council unless you get involved in intercessory prayer. Hallelujah. That's why I'm giving you these scriptures, to show you what the early church did. So in Acts 2, 1 through 4, it says, when the day of Pentecost was come, they were all in one accord in one place. And when they had prayed corporately and in one accord, that's when the Holy Ghost fell in that place. And the presence of God not only transformed their lives, but his presence would begin to the transformation of the entire world. And look at what Christianity has done today. Amen. If there hadn't have been for that early church and their commitment to prayer, none of what we see today would have happened. I want you to think about that. What happened in this world today as far as Christianity happened through the act of prayer. In Acts 4, chapter 4, verse 31, it says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. Hallelujah. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Pray before you speak his word to your friends and your family. Let the presence of God anoint the situation, and then you'll have better results. Amen. Listen, I've never been in a prayer meeting where the building literally shook. But I have been in those prayer meetings where the presence and the power of God was so strong that it kept the believers down on their knees, interceding for their families, interceding for their friends, interceding for their neighbors, interceding for all those on this planet that need Jesus. Being the intercessor to intercede for somebody else. You want prayers answered in your life? Pray for somebody else. Don't always just be seeking for yourself. Seek for somebody else. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for your word. Thank you for your word is manifesting in my life. Thank you that you'll help me to be a better doer of your holy word. My heart's desire is to help the lost, to see people changed from the inside out. So I'm getting a better revelation of how my prayers can bring that about. We started it last week saying, would we be willing to pray that God's will be done on this earth? Amen. God's Son, Jesus Christ, in the book of Luke, we learned it last week. He said, his disciples came to him and said, Lord, would you just teach us to pray? And he said, pray like this. My Father. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, interceding for you and me. But yet he knew what was coming. He knew because he's the Son of God. And the Holy Ghost revealed it to him. He knew everything that was going to happen to him. And he was a man just like me and you. And just because he was the Son of God, he had to come in the flesh. How many of you know when they pulled his beard out, it hurt? How many of you know when they laid that, the cat of nine tails across his back, it hurt? And he knew that was coming. But when the devil says, well, and the devil was there with him because the devil is with you in your prayer. He don't want you praying. So he's going to try to hinder you. So the devil just put this thought, well, you know, you don't have to. You don't have to go. You don't have to die. That was the will of the devil for Jesus. And he tried to talk Jesus into it. But then our Lord, my Lord and Savior said, not my will, but your will be done. We need a church that says, not my will, but your will be done. Glory. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. You see, the early church knew how to pray. When we think about today's world, my brothers and sisters, and why God isn't moving, God's saying, why aren't you praying? We want God to move. We got to say something. We want God to move on the behalf, on our behalf. We got to move on His. Not my will, Father, but your will be done. Hallelujah. One of the greatest needs in the modern day church is prayer warriors. People that will say, I'm not too busy to pray. Isaiah said it best in chapter 6, verse 8, when he said, I heard the voice of the Lord say, whom will I send? And I heard me say, send me, Lord. Let me pray for somebody. Hallelujah. We need prayer warriors. Why isn't our church praying more? In Acts chapter 12, verse number 5, this is what happens when the church will pray. This is when Peter was thrown in prison. And it says, when Peter was thrown in prison, that constant prayer was offered up to God for Peter. And it was offered up to God by the church. And because of the church's constant prayers, because they knew how and what to pray, God sent an angel, praise God, to help Peter out. And it says Peter's chains fell off, and the angel of the Lord led him out of the prison. I submit to you, my brothers and sisters, if you're in a prison, that prison could be in your job. It can be in anything in this world. If you're a prisoner right now, if you will pray, an angel will come and lead you out of your bondage. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. But the angel came and led him out of the prison. And this all happened because of what? Prayer. Thank you, Miss Susan. This all happened because of prayer. But because the saints of the early church gathered together and prayed in one accord. You see, the early church, and this is what I'm trying to get across to this church, they had a passion to pray. Well, Pastor, how do we get that passion? I'm glad you asked. Start right where you are and do what we've been teaching. You cannot obtain a passion to put prayer first in your life, to make it your number one priority, unless you change what you're doing right now. And some of you in here that may be your top priority. You may spend hours a day in prayer. In other words, for those who want prayer, don't want to have a passion, you have to make prayer and getting into God's presence a priority. You have to make building a good relationship with Him the first thing in your life, not the last. Well, I see Him on Sunday. Yeah, and Pastor, I might come on Wednesday. You know, just depends on if I ain't got nothing else to do. We need to make it a priority to build a close personal relationship with God. And then I'm going to promise you this, from that place of relationship with God, your prayer life will become more fruitful. And when your prayer life is more fruitful, your passion for prayer will increase. So if you want a passion to pray, start praying. Amen. Thing of it is, are you willing to make prayer a priority in your life? R.A. Torrey said this. Said, we are too busy to pray. And so, if we're too busy to pray, we're too busy to have God's power in our life. I'm going to read that again. He said, we're too busy to pray, so we're too busy to have the power. We have a great deal of activity, but we accomplish little. Many services, but few conversions. Much machinery, but very few results. We should all come to that place where we dedicate our lives to live in God's presence. Psalms 16:11. Those of you who are seeking the riches of this world, listen up. Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the path of my life, of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So if you're seeking pleasures of this world, get in his presence. Matthew 6:33, write that down, says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll add everything else to you. Amen. I'll say this, the answers to your life come from being in God's presence. And I've seen people struggle with, what do I do here? What's my next step, Lord? Which way do you want me to go? How can you help me get where I want to go, Father? He said, get in my presence. But people seek all of that stuff. But God's word says if you and I'll just stay in his presence, that we'll know what to do. We'll know what door to go through and which door to close. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, if you'll just stay in my presence, I'll reveal your path to you. Very few of us go to God. And I'm not being critical. Very few Christians go to God to seek his face on where they should be doing. Amen. Got awful quiet in God's house. I know you're just listening. Hallelujah. If you want God to give you power to know what to do, don't be too busy to pray. Are you with me? A great evangelist named Billy Graham. How many of you know who he is? Billy Graham was quoted as saying this. He said, "Heaven is full of answers for which no one has bothered to ask." Heaven is full of answers for which no one bothered to ask. Get a hold of that, church. Heaven has all the answers. God is the answer to everything. Every situation in your life, every trial, every tribulation, He's the answer. But no one bothers to pray. You see, people want all the answers to life's challenges, but very few of them will do what it's going to take. And I'm talking about getting into fervent prayer. Bible says the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Very few of them want to do what it takes to get into fervent prayer to get the answers they want from God. Leonard Ravenhill, a great Christian evangelist and author whose main focus was on the subjects of prayer and revival. How many of you like to see revival? Hallelujah. He said this, "I grant you that modern Christianity, or to modern Christianity, praying is foreign." That means very few churches even teach people to pray. In other words, most Christians spend very little of their time in prayer, and really the blame isn't really on the people as much as it is the church. Because the church hasn't taught the people the importance of prayer. They just say, "Come on to church. Join together. Check the box off. You're here. We see you. Praise the Lord. Glad you were here this morning." But they teach your people. No, they don't teach nothing about anything in the Bible. They just tell stories. Have great praise and worship. But no substance to the prayer. I mean, no substance to the teaching. Hallelujah. I think we got both. We got great praise and worship and substance. It ain't because of me. It ain't because of Jason. Because of the presence of God is in here. Hallelujah. Last week we talked about our prayers helping God to establish His will on this earth. But did you know, for you and I to help God establish His will on this earth, we must first allow Him to establish His will in us. Got one oh yeah, one yeah, a couple of heads shaking. The rest of you are still in la la land. We must first be established in His will. Amen. Can His will really be established in my life, Pastor? Can we really know what God has for us? Can we really know His path for our life? Yes, you can. If, everybody say if. See, that's a condition. Y'all ought to just get you a good concordance and ask your concordance or your computer how many ifs there are just in the New Testament. People say, "Well, God don't put conditions on it." Yes, He does. Don't shout me down now. Can I know the path for my life? Yes. If, I'll just use me. If I will hunker down. Everybody know what hunker down means? If I'll just hunker down and do what the Word of God tells me to do. Amen. I got to hunker down to do what it takes to get into God's presence. Amen. Sadly, though, very few people will actually do what it takes to enter into God's presence. And that's why Mr. Torrey said we're too busy to pray. So we're too busy to have power. He says, we have a great deal of activity. Churches are just flourishing. Smoke, mirrors, big screens, rock stars. paid entertainers to do the praise and worship. A lot of glit and a lot of glamour. But I'm here to tell you, my brothers and sisters, if it does not proceed out of the presence of God, it's wrong. And I don't want it. One of my brothers in the Lord said, well, Pastor John, the way you preach, you'll never have a 40,000 member church. I said, that's okay. I'll have the members we have are going to be powerful in God. They are going to have the authority that God gave them. And when we start praying in one accord, come together in one accord, come together more often, we're going to see mighty signs, wonders, and miracles. More than we already have. Hallelujah. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. We cannot be too busy to pray, guys. We can have all the bells and whistles. We can have all the things that tend to draw the big crowds. But if it's not out of God's presence, it means nothing. And you and I should not desire it. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. God's church, his remnant church, can even become so busy. You and I can become so busy in our lives, in what we want to do. So busy doing what other Christians are doing. So busy thinking about what other churches are doing. Thinking about chasing after the glit and the glamour and the entertainment. Thinking about setting up all the different programs and even changing the moral standards just to draw the masses. Too busy chasing after people and adding numbers to the roster instead of chasing after what the church was originally meant to be, and that's to house the glory and the presence of God. Can you say amen? Let me tell you this, where there is no presence, there is no power. In our personal lives, you and I, if we're not careful, if we're not watchful, can get so busy in our own life that we can get used. Used, is that a word? Used. We can get used to living without God's power and God's presence. How many of you know you can survive on this planet without ever knowing God? Amen. So we can get so busy in our own personal lives where we never take time to think about God. Oh, we do on Sundays. We get in here and shout amen, praise the Lord. Amen. But we can get too busy in our everyday life to where we can become accustomed to living without God's presence in our lives. I'm telling you right now, this morning, I don't know about you, but I never want to ever live without God's power and presence in my life. Amen. And I'm going to keep moving forward with him until I get the fullness of that. Amen. How many of you know Jesus had the fullness of God's power? Hallelujah. How many of you know you can have it if you're willing to do what he did? And in my own life, I haven't yet been willing to do that. And I'm not talking about going to the cross. I'm talking about consecration. I'm talking about a man. Yes, again, he was a son of God, but he was also a man being solely committed to God and to God's will. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you really want God's power flowing in your life? Say this with me. If you're watching my live stream this morning, type it in. Say this. Say, I want God's power flowing in my life. Say it again. Say, I want God's power flowing in my life. Has everybody said it? Anybody not say it? Because God wants to get us all on the hook. Amen. Hallelujah. So now that God has us all committed to doing what it takes to empower our own life, let's see the secret of Jesus' power. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. I got to move on. Holy Ghost is taking up all my time again. Mark chapter 1, verse number 35. It says, "Now in the morning, having risen a long time before daylight." See, we lost a lot of people right then. I ain't getting up before daylight to go pray. Don't God know I have to get up early enough to go to work? Wants me to get up before daylight? Can't I just pray on Sunday morning with everybody else at church? Don't shout me down now. I told you earlier, listen to me now, you didn't get this in here. And if we're in this category, we need to move out of it, okay? But I told you earlier that not everyone is willing to do what the Word of God prescribes to walk in God's power. They all want God's power in their life, but very few are willing to follow Jesus' example to appropriate that power. He says here, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him." You see, they wanted to know where Jesus goes every morning. I mean, you know, people are normally curious. Somebody gets off at the campsite, takes off by himself, you're going to sneak over there and say, "Where's he going?" Because you want to see what he's doing. Here's the guy that's been laying hands on the sick and they're recovering. Here's a guy that's been casting out devils. Here's a guy that's been preaching the word boldly amongst the heathen, and worse than that, amongst religious people. He spoke with boldness. So they were all the disciples just sneaking over and saying, "Hey, man, we're going to go see what he's doing." Are you with me? Hallelujah. Verse 37. It says, "When they had found him, they said to him, 'Everyone is looking for you.'" Of course we all are. Amen. "But he said to them, 'Let us go into the next towns that I may preach,'" underline that if you have your Bible, "'so I may preach there also, because for this purpose,'" underline that in your Bible, "'I have come forth.'" We've been talking a lot about purpose in this church. Again, how many of you are willing to do what Jesus did? Uh-oh, the numbers have shrunk. Lost another whole group. "Because for this purpose I have come forth." Notice what Jesus said his purpose was to preach the gospel. And then what did he command all of his disciples to do? To follow his example, right? He said, "Come, follow me," didn't he? And he said that more than once. Matter of fact, he said it in three of the gospels. "Come, follow me." How many of you know that means follow him in everything? Don't shout me down now. Says, "Follow his example and take the gospel into all the world." Mark 16, 15 through 18. Just write it down. Says, "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.'" How many of you in here know he was talking to you? If you really know he was talking to you, raise your hand. Okay. I was fixing to get all over her. Whoo! Thank you, Lord, for saving me from that. "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." Remember, we got to have a passion and a compassion for humanity to get them all saved, right? Amen. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who did not believe will be condemned. And these signs, everybody say these signs. These signs will follow, not might follow, not maybe, not, you know. These signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it by no means will hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Praise God. So my assignment and your assignment and our purpose is to follow Jesus. Can you say amen to that? So notice what Jesus did. And this is so key, guys. Notice what Jesus did every morning before he went about his day. He got alone with God and prayed. Everyone in this room, everyone watching by live stream this morning, need to take time to get alone with God and pray for his will to be done in your life. Amen. Prayer was Jesus' first priority, not his last. Tell your neighbor now the rest of the story. How many of you know who said that? No, Pastor John. So now the rest of the story. Let's look at verse 39. He said, let's go into the towns, didn't he? And he said, and he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out what? Demons. And then a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. And as soon as he what? As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. My brothers and sisters, how many of you would be glad if we're done today? Well, we are. We're done for the day, but we're not done with this message. But let me close with this. Hallelujah. Our Savior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus. Jesus was empowered by God to fulfill God's will on this planet. That was his purpose in life, to fulfill his Father's will. God's will for Jesus was twofold. Number one, this is your mission too. This is your purpose. Preach the gospel with signs and wonders and miracles following. The second fold, second part of his will for Jesus, God's will for Jesus' life. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, praise God, we ain't got to do this one. Was to physically take the sins of the world and die on the cross. But for Jesus to fulfill God's will and purpose for his life, he had to have God's presence not only on his life, he had to have God's presence working through his life. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And he could only receive God's prayer the only way we can receive it, through a relationship with his Father, and that meant Jesus spent time praying. Amen. If you and I want to truly follow our Lord Jesus Christ and have the power of God working in our lives like it did in his, we must do what he did, and that is to pray first and then go. Why? Because prayer is what will empower your life. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I preach me happy. You know why? Because my feet are hurting. I want more God in my life. I'm committed to him to pray more. I'm committed to him to do my part to make such a strong relationship between me and him and me, that when I see something, it ain't about the physical doing it. It's about fulfilling his will. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. There's people in this church. I've had aches and pains. But you know what? I know I can get, because the word says I can get to the point to where I have such a good relationship with my Heavenly Father that his power flows in and through my life, and I can even lay hands on myself and I'll recover immediately. And you can too. You can too. But are we willing to pay the price? We don't have to die on the cross. We have to die to self. All right, that's another whole message. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father God, for your word. Hallelujah. Part of God's word, he says, if you'll come before me and you'll lay your sins at the cross and you'll believe in me and you'll confess me as your Lord and Savior, you will be saved. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, don't matter whether you're in this room or you're watching my live stream this morning, if you have never confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are not ready to go to heaven. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, I don't want anybody to feel inhibited that people might be looking. If you're in here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you even need to rededicate your life to him because you haven't been living for him, you've been trying to live with one foot in the world and one foot in God, if either one of those describe you, I want you to slip a hand up and set it right back down. Hallelujah. God's seen every one of those hands. Bless the Lord. He saw your hands at home. I know there's some watching at home that haven't been living for him. And God can, there's no distance in the spirit, so God can see you just as well he can see the people in this room. Everybody pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word that you brought forth this morning. I receive that word. Thank you for showing me what I need to do. Thank you for revealing to me that I need to stay in your presence more and more every day. Father God, I ask you to forgive me that I've fallen short and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I believe Jesus Christ was your only begotten Son, that he died just for me. And because he did, I can live with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Show me in your word more what I can do, and I'll do it. In your precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Praise God. We close out every service with these words that we serve a miracle-working God, and you are always the next in line for the miracle. In Jesus' name, you're dismissed.